to welcome everyone again today to our podcast on Great Resolutions. And last time we started this new podcast series in which we are considering the lives of the saints who have gone before us. And my name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. And we're continuing to take a look at and that we could learn and receive from our predecessors. And today we have something in particular we like to consider: the matter of interceding for others as we carry out our burden for the gospel. And Bill, in the beginning here today, I'd just like to remember that, we've had a couple portions in the morning revival, even on this line of intercession,
right?
And this matter of prayer. And I think this has been a very great, important matter in the Lord's recovery, that we need to learn to intercede on behalf of others. And today we're going to consider this specifically in relation to our burden for the gospel.
That's very good, Marty. You know, this matter of prayer, it has two kinds. There are prayers of fellowship, where we receive help from the Lord, open to Him on a personal basis. Then there's another completely different kind of prayer we need to enter into, and that's called the prayer of interceding for others. One is to supply us with the Lord Himself, with His grace and love and life. The other is to intercede on behalf of others for their welfare and their benefit. And today we'll look at a particular person in church history who was quite excellent in the matter of interceding for others.
Well, Bill, I think this is really important, especially in line with our burden today in the recovery. In the last couple of years, we've had a lot of fellowship concerning the Lord's burden for the increase and spread of His testimony. And we know that we've considered that verse in Matthew 24, where the gospel of the kingdom, it says in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the whole inhabited earth, before the end of the days and before the Lord returns. So we know that it's been shared with us that the Lord's burden is that His people would bear some remaining fruit, that this kingdom gospel would be preached, that we could all bear remaining fruit. And the result of this would be that the church, the body of Christ, could really be built up in all different localities around the whole earth. And then this would consummate the Lord's ultimate goal for the building up of the New Jerusalem. But one important matter that I think we're going to bring out today is it's more than just seeing this vision, that the Lord really desires that some would cooperate with Him and respond to Him in a way of serving Him as priest of the gospel, like it's mentioned in Romans chapter 15.
This is true, Marty. Especially when we enter into the burden of picking up the Lord's heart about preaching the gospel to others and bringing others to the Lord, whether we are in high school, whether on a college campus, or whether in our workplace, we should always be burdened and exercised before the Lord to consider which ones that we're with all the time are very open candidates to the gospel. And then, of course, right away, to learn how to deal with that person before the Lord, how to bring him in our private life before the Lord, how to intercede for him, and eventually how to even mention the matter of the gospel to that one.
Well, I know it's been shared with the high schoolers many times that they need to be the ones who sow the seed, even in their high school. And I know that we've had a lot of fellowship among the college students, that the college campus is such a unique place for the preaching of the gospel. And the Lord has really placed so many students with an opportunity to be able to share with those even who live in their same dorm, or those classmates in the classes, and the friends that you run into in the daily life. And so I think it's true that not only the older saints, but especially I think those listening to this broadcast are more the high school and college age, that we all could begin to pick up this burden from the Lord for the increase and spread. And I think this is the reason why we need to really learn this lesson of first coming to the Lord in our prayer to intercede on others' behalf.
This is true, Marty. We need to pick up this burden and follow through with this burden And I like this one portion that we need to go to God first and then talk to men. Many times we talk to men first, but we don't go to God.
Right.
But we need to be those who have a habit, a practice of coming to the Lord first, opening to the Lord, receiving a supply from Him, receiving a burden from Him. Then we go to men with the burden that we receive from the Lord. Then we can properly intercede.
Yeah, this is really good. I recall reading that little pamphlet by Watchman Nee called Burden and Prayer. And he said, the Lord is like placing a little burden in our hands, and that we need to deliver it by releasing it in our prayer to God. And then the Lord can give us another burden. So I think it's true that we may all find it difficult at times to share the gospel. And I think the more we do have opportunity to speak to others, we find sometimes we're weak, and we find out that we're not the ones who really can turn people's hearts or turn them to the Lord. And I think the more we preach the gospel, the more we find out, wow, we really need to pray first and ask the Lord even to bind the strong man, that these vessels could be released to receive Him and to be filled with Him, and that they could really be brought to the Lord in the way of salvation.
Of course, even the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in the book of Timothy, he encouraged and exhorted the believers. He said, first of all,
right, you know,
that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. In other words, to Paul, the first thing was to go to the Lord.
Right. I think a lot of times we maybe realize that prayer is important, but sometimes we feel, well, we'll see if we get around to it, if we have time, instead of putting it as our utmost priority. So I think Paul is really charging us that, first of all, we need to bring these ones to Him in our prayers, in our intercessions. Of course, in Hebrews, Paul said that the Lord is always living to intercede, and He is interceding even at the present time. But often He's waiting for us saints to join with Him in His intercession. And for that, I think we all need to aspire to be more of a praying person, and ask the Lord that He would hear our prayers, and that we would build up this prayer burden in more of in a daily way. And I think, you know, even recently, Bill, in the last year or two, Brother Lee has encouraged us. Sometimes we pray in a general way for many, like all the ones on our campus, but sometimes Brother Lee encouraged us to pray even for the one or two special persons that the Lord would place on our heart, to just bring them continually before Him in our prayer.
That's true. And even in my own experience, Marty, you know, when I received the Lord in high school, I was about a junior in high school in the late 1950s, of course, quite a few years ago. But right away, when I received the Lord, I had a spontaneous burden to immediately bring my high school classmates to the Lord. But because I did not know this lesson or learn the lesson of prayer, I was completely frustrated, and very few of my classmates were brought to the Lord because I did not practice this interceding life. It was only later that I began to practice this interceding life. And then after that, the matter of ones being brought to the Lord was much more readily apparent.
Well, I think this is a key lesson that all of us really need to learn, and continually to learn and practice bringing ones to the Lord in our intercessions. So today, in light of the considering the biographies of those who have gone before us, I think we have a very particular story where we see this actually worked out. And this was back in the 19th century. And we'd like to take a look at this in particular to consider the impact of prayer on one brother who became a very useful vessel to the master in the proclaiming of the gospel. And Bill, I like to say this is probably one of the first biographies that I read as a believer, and I was so touched with the testimony, and that is of James Hudson Taylor, and not only his work, but also his living, his testimony before God was so impressive. But I never realized till reading that it really had a very good beginning in prayer of his sister and his mother in bringing him before the Lord in their prayer before he was actually saved.
That's true, Marty. The more you talk, as you're talking about this, I'm looking at a book that I bought. It was published a few years ago called The Collected Works of James Hudson Taylor, a unique edition. Only 200 copies were printed. And thumbing through this book, there is in this book also the written record of how James Hudson Taylor came to the Lord through the prayer of his mother and his sister. So anyhow, this was quite a record that's written down here, recorded in this volume that I have before me. And I'm sure the listeners will enjoy us as we get into this story.
Yeah, maybe we could mention at this point, Bill, probably one of the best biographies is actually written by, I think it's his daughter-in-law, Mrs. Howard Taylor. Actually, her husband was a doctor. Dr. and Mrs. Howard Taylor compiled this biography of James Hudson Taylor, and it's a very worthwhile book to read. Well, you know, in the past, Brother Lee has shared with us that he was so thankful to the Lord that the missionaries brought, of course, the Lord's name, brought the gospel, and brought the Word of God, the Bible, to them in China. And I'd say a great part of that was through the work of Hudson Taylor. And he was the founder of the China Inland Mission. And I didn't realize, but Hudson Taylor actually spent 50 years in China himself proclaiming the gospel. And he brought 800 saints with him in this missionary gospel work that he did. And there were some statistics that over 18,000 people were brought to Christ for salvation because of their labor and their service in China. So his testimony is very impressive. But today we'd like to go back a little bit and to see how about his conversion? How did this testimony of Hudson Taylor even begin with his sister and his mother?
Yes, this is quite a story in Hudson Taylor's own words, how he was a young man, probably around 15 years of age. His mother was away at a particular day, probably 70 or 80 years away, 80 miles away there in England at that time. And then Hudson was picked up this little booklet, this little pamphlet talking about something of the Christian life. And he didn't realize at the same time that he was reading that little booklet on the finished work of Christ that his mother, 80 miles away, was locked herself in a room and had a spontaneous burden to pray for her son at the same time that her son was reading this booklet on the finished work of Christ.
Yeah, this is quite an interesting story to see these two things happening at the same time. So here was Hudson Taylor just happening to have a little time free himself and taking a look at this gospel track or this little booklet and reading the story. You find out he was not real interested. He said he liked the stories, but he knew it would come to some commentary at the end and some fellowship concerning to the gospel. He said, well, when it came to that point, he would just put it aside. But he didn't know at the same time his mother was on her knees praying, set the 70 or 80 miles away. And this is so impressive, and I think this is exactly what we're talking about. The Lord had laid Hudson Taylor upon her heart, and this was a real burden from God, and she was doing exactly what Paul said, that first of all, to intercede on his behalf. And as she was interceding, the Holy Spirit was enlightening and working in Hudson Taylor at the same time.
That was quite a story, because I think a few weeks later, of course, Hudson's mom was very much burdened to see what was the issue of her interceding for her son. And then when they met about 2 weeks later, I think, of course, Hudson was very, again, elated to want to relate to his mom what happened to him to get saved. And In a sense, when they met, she said, "I know, son, I know already." And of course, that shocked Hudson. How would Hudson's mom know what happened to him when they were 80 miles away from each other? But the Lord had joined them in prayer while Hudson was praying in the warehouse close to his house, and his mom was praying 80 miles away. The Lord was joining the prayer together, and Hudson received Christ and realized that Christ not only died a propitiatory death for him, but that this was a finished work of Christ. In other words, he didn't need to do anything, just to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have already done. And at that moment, he was saved. He was born again. He was converted, and his mother and Hudson rejoiced together. And even, I think, a little bit later, Hudson ran across his sister's diary happened to read this diary, and his sister also talked about her excessive prayers that Hudson would be brought to the Lord. So you have two confirmations, one from his mom and one from his sister.
Yeah, this is impressive. I think his sister testified that she was praying three times a day. And she was asking the Lord she would commit to this daily prayer on behalf of her brother until he be brought to salvation. Of course, her prayer was answered within a month, and Hudson saw it when he happened to pick up her diary one day, mistakenly thinking it was his own. He saw this record, and of course he told his sister, and then he told his mother, and they really rejoiced together. Well, I think, Bill, in conclusion, this account really helps us to see that surely, like Paul told Timothy, our Savior God does desire all men to be saved, but quite often he is waiting for us to agree with him for the carrying out of his will, and he really needs us as the church to agree with him on the earth, to intercede with him, and to bind the enemy, and to release the gospel and release the life imparting. And this is exactly what happened in the case with Hudson Taylor, with his sister and his mother. So this is so impressive. Watchman Nee said, the key to the Lord giving us his burdens is that we would just have an open and willing spirit. So I think all the students, both the high school students and the college students, in fact, all of us, if we have an open and willing spirit, the Lord can give us his burden, and then we can bring it back and discharge it back to him before God in our prayer.
I might add briefly to this, Marty, if any of our listeners would like to learn how Brother Watchman Nee, of course, he was brought to the Lord in 1920, but in 1936, he gave his own personal account of how he got saved, then how he tried to bring his classmates to the Lord, and no one got saved. He went to a missionary by the name of Miss Groves, and Miss Groves said, you must speak to God first before you speak to people. You should pray to God, make a list of your schoolmates' names, and ask God which of them you should pray for. Pray for them daily, mentioning them by name. Well, eventually, to make a long story short, he put this into practice, and eventually, I think he says here, Brother Nee said, thank the Lord, after several months, all but one of the 70 persons whose names were in my notebook were saved. And that's found in this volume called Watchman Nee, A Seer of the Divine Revelation in the Present Age.
Well, in conclusion, Paul told us that we should not quench the spirit. And usually we might take this in other ways of just enjoying Christ or enjoying the Lord's flowing in us. But specifically here, I think we can cooperate when we have a little sense within to pray and to utter some specific burden, even if it's a specific person that we are burdened for. I think we should follow these examples of Hudson Taylor's sister and his mother, and the example you just gave concerning Watchman Nee, to bring these names before the Lord and intercede. So I guess our prayer at the end here would that the Lord would be able to give us specific people to put upon our hearts that we could release these ones to him in our prayer. And the result of this hopefully will be more remaining fruit for the building up of the body of Christ.
Right. This is our goal, not just to bring people to Christ, but that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And a big part of that knowledge of the truth, Marty, is that we would be the living organic members of the body of Christ built up with other believers for the Lord's testimony.
Well, Bill, I think we'll conclude here for today. I, like last time, really appreciate the fellowship. And I just like to encourage our listeners. Actually, next time we're going to consider a very specific a case of college students who prayed on their campus as a group. They grouped together and prayed for the salvation of others. So we encourage everyone to tune in next time as we get together on this program for Great Resolutions.